And now, VOA's International Edition. Coming up, deadly attack at a Jerusalem synagogue, President Obama on fighting the Ebola outbreak, plus the latest on the situation in eastern Ukraine. Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Norman. Israeli police say a number of Israelis have been killed, several wounded in an attack by two Palestinians happened at a synagogue in Jerusalem. Two attackers were killed by police. VOA's Scott Bob is in Jerusalem with our report.
The attack occurred during morning prayers at a synagogue in an ultra-Orthodox Jewish neighborhood in west of Jerusalem. Israeli police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld said the synagogue was full of people praying.
Two terrorists attacked using knives, an axe, and also a pistol, opening fire at everyone that was inside the synagogue. Our police officers that arrived at the scene engaged contact with those terrorists and shot and killed the terrorists within moments.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a statement, promised to respond harshly and blamed the attack on what he called incitement by the militant Palestinian group Hamas and the head of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas. Mr. Abbas condemned the attack and said he condemns the killing of civilians no matter who is doing it. The militant group Hamas praised the attack, calling it a response to the continued Israeli crimes and the desecration of Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque. The mosque sits on the noble sanctuary or Temple Mount that is holy to Muslims and Jews. Violence between Israelis and Palestinians has surged in recent weeks, fueled by rising tension over the site. Non-Muslims may visit the site, but may not pray there, according to an agreement dating to the 1967 Israeli-Arab War. Some nationalist Israelis have been going to the site to pray, causing demonstrations and riots in East Jerusalem. Scott Bob, VOA News, Jerusalem.
Two new videos by jihadist groups show the conflicting roles of Europeans in some brutal struggles waged by militant Islamists as both victims and as perpetrators. One shows French and Dutch hostages pleading for help. Another appears to show a Frenchman and possibly another involved in an execution of Syrian soldiers as possible members of the Islamic State militants. Lisa Bryant has details.
French authorities confirmed that a new video showing Frenchman Serge Lazarevich asking France to help liberate him was authentic. The video was posted by Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which captured Lazarevich and another hostage 3 years ago in Mali. The other hostage, Philippe Verdun, was shot dead in 2012. The video also shows a Dutch hostage. Lazarevich is the last Frenchman being held hostage. Another hostage, Hervé Gourdel, was executed in September. A second video released Sunday shows another face of militant Islam, with Europe not only a target but an exporter of radical fighters. Authorities say 22-year-old French convert Maxime Ochar appears to be among Islamic State militants who are filmed executing Syrian soldiers. Another Frenchman may also be in the video. Authorities estimate that thousands of Europeans have left their homelands to join the IS in Iraq and Syria, including nearly 1,000 French. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Addressing a meeting of supporters of Moscow on Tuesday, President Vladimir Putin accused the United States of seeking to, in his words, subdue Russia. Came just days after receiving a frosty reception at the G20 meeting in Australia and following fresh accusations that Moscow is putting increasing military pressure on Ukraine. Earlier Tuesday, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg told reporters he has information of a Russian military buildup inside Ukraine.
It is a military buildup, and the picture we have confirms the picture which is also provided by other sources, by open sources, by independent reporters, by the OSCE. They are also providing information about the military buildup, both inside Ukraine, but we also see a military buildup on the Russian side of the border. And we speak about troops, we speak about equipment, and we speak also about artillery and very modern air defense systems. So this is a serious military buildup, and we call on Russia to pull back its troops and contribute to a peaceful agreement.
Also Tuesday, Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk called on Russia to hold serious negotiations on a neutral territory. Moscow has repeatedly denied directly supporting the rebellion in eastern Ukraine and has described Russian troops seen fighting alongside pro-Russian separatists there as volunteers. At the White House on Tuesday, President Obama spoke with a number of his advisors about the Ebola crisis, including the U.S. Ebola Response Coordinator, Ron Klain. As the meeting was beginning, Mr. Obama spoke with reporters about the outbreak.
As long as the outbreak continues to rage in the three countries in West Africa, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, this is still going to be a danger, not just for America, but for the entire world. We are nowhere near out of the woods yet in West Africa. The good news is in parts of Liberia, our efforts, both civilian and military, are really paying dividends. And we are seeing the curve bending so that we are on track with diligence dealing with the hot spots that may still reemerge to actually get a handle on that disease. We're still seeing an increase of cases in Sierra Leone, although our British counterparts are doing an excellent job working with us and the international community to coordinate the situation there. In Guinea, the numbers are lower than in Sierra Leone or Liberia, but they're often in very remote areas that are hard to reach, and some of the international coordination still needs to improve.
President Obama urged U.S. lawmakers to approve before leaving for a holiday recess in mid-December the $6.2 billion that he's requested to fight the virus, blamed for thousands of deaths, including two people who died in the United States after becoming infected in West Africa. The current outbreak of Ebola is the worst on record. It has left, according to the World Health Organization, 5,177 people dead, most of them in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. Speaker of the Parliament in Myanmar, also known as Burma, says the military-drafted constitution that bars opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi from becoming president cannot be changed before elections next November. Shui Man said voters will be able to take part in a nationwide referendum on constitutional changes in May. He did say it will be impossible, though, for any changes to go into effect immediately. Aung San Suu Kyi is prohibited from becoming a president by a constitutional clause that bars anyone with a spouse or children who are citizens of a foreign nation. Her sons are British nationals. Those are some of the stories making news. You can find a lot more at our website, voanews.com. And if you find yourself on the Internet, you can follow me on Twitter at VOA Norman. Have a good day.
This is Business News on VOA Global with Ira Melman. I'm Jim Stevenson. U.S. stocks broke a five-day run of fractional moves and staged a micro-rally to close at record levels. The numbers were boosted by stronger housing data and the U.S., as well as widely anticipated news of a snap election in Japan. The S&P 500 gained 10.50 points to close at 2,051, and this marks the 43rd time the index closed at a record high this year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 40.20 points to 17,687. That hit an all-time high for the 26th time in 2014.
The inflation picked up in October in the United States due to higher prices that U.S. companies receive for new model cars, beef, pork, pharmaceuticals, and electric power. The producer price index rose 0.2% in October from the previous month, according to the U.S. Labor Department. The index measures the cost of goods and services before they reach the consumer. The prices for many products climbed even as wholesale gas costs plummeted 5.8% last month. Automakers contributed to inflation by introducing 2015 car models. Beef prices jumped 6% and pork prices surged 8.1%.
Facebook is launching a new free app for its popular Groups feature that gives users a chance to create and interact on the website with communities based on shared interests, such as hobbies, geography, or culture. Facebook has been trying to expand its presence on people's mobile devices by creating and charging for apps such as Messenger, Paper, Instagram, and WhatsApp. But it won't require people to use the standalone app or use Facebook groups. They'll still be able to access groups through the Facebook app or on the the website.
And there you have it, a look at business news here on The Voice of America.
This is VOA Global on The Voice of America. Coming up, Ira, we've got your version of American Cafe. It's your program. You know, there's a saying, if you lived through the 1960s, then you probably didn't remember it. If you didn't live through the 1960s, you definitely don't.
Yeah, and then David Byrd is going to be around with a fascinating story about what the American diet is doing to the rest of the world and some attempts to do away with it.
Let's hear it.
I'm Ira Melman in the American Cafe. The 1960s was an era of change and turmoil for the United States as well as other parts of the world. These changes ranged from social attitudes to politics, even science. You can now hear this period of history come alive on YouTube through the voices of prominent figures who spoke at the University of California, Los Angeles, also known as UCLA. Their recorded speeches were buried and forgotten for years until recently. Elizabeth Lee has the story from Los Angeles.
It is we, the people of this country.
From entertainers.
We, American people, face more problems and more.
To astronauts.
We'd like to take the time today to tell you a little bit about Apollo 14 and what.
To world leaders.
Haile Selassie, first emperor of Ethiopia.
Hundreds of people who shaped the 1960s and early 1970s gave speeches at the University of California, Los Angeles that were recorded. Chair of the Communications Department, Tim Groling, says the speeches present an audio snapshot of a significant time in history.
It's the combination of this being, I think, dramatic figures, speaking at what was really a dramatic time. I mean, this is a time period where society is really changing.
Hundreds of speeches reflecting social and political changes and new discoveries in scientific knowledge were recorded, locked in file cabinets, and forgotten until recently when Groling made a discovery.
I was at a thrift store and saw an old reel-to-reel unit for $20 that I'm like, I bet you that fits with the tapes. And $20, might as well give it a shot.
Once he had the old audio tape player, Groling solicited the help of former student Derek Bolin to digitize the speeches made between 1962 and 1973.
I felt very good about doing this because I felt like I was preserving a piece of history.
I want to make it very clear that I come in total support.
In this 1972 speech, actress Jane Fonda spoke at an anti-Vietnam War rally on campus, reflecting the sentiment of the time.
I don't feel that Nixon and the people that work with him represent the interests of any of us, be we men, women, black, white, yellow, Chicano, or brown.
Every country.
Yitzhak Rabin spoke at the university while he was Israeli ambassador to the United States.
I'm not very optimistic about the prospects of achieving peace in the near future for two main reasons. I don't believe that Egypt or the ruler of Egypt wants peace. And he has got his own reasons that derives from his ambitions to take over the Middle East. And Israel serves as a barrier between him, between Egypt and the other Arab countries. But more than that, he has found a great support in one of the superpowers, in the Soviet Union.
The speeches went beyond world politics. Jonas Salk, who developed the polio vaccine, gave a speech in 1972 about that period in time as significant in the history of science.
The world is going through very interesting changes now and changes of such nature that I believe that this is perhaps the most interesting time that man has ever lived, and perhaps is more interesting than will ever be true again in the future.
Tim Groling says without technology and the internet, it would be difficult for the public to hear these historical figures. 366 of the speeches given at UCLA are now available on YouTube. Elizabeth Lee for VOA News, Los Angeles.
Elizabeth Lee is one of the many VOA correspondents and reporters who regularly visit the American Cafe. American Cafe can be heard every day of the week on voanews.com, as well as individual podcasts on numerous platforms. Join us. I'm Ira Melman, VOA News in the American Cafe.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Byrd, and here's what's happening now. The globalization of the Western diet, one high in fat, salt, sugar, and calories, is bad for your health and for the environment. VOA's Roseanne Skirbel found out that a new study in the journal Nature says there are some dietary solutions to this problem, but they will require a change in your thinking.
In the study, David Tillman analyzed data from 100 countries to chart what people ate and how diet affected health. The University of Minnesota ecology professor noted a trend beginning in the 1960s. As nations industrialized, populations increased, and incomes rose. More people began to adopt the so-called Western diet, one high in refined sugar, fat, oil, and meat. People began to get fatter and sicker.
The excess, let's say, in the 15 richest nations in the world right now is on the order of about 400 or 500 extra calories a day that are eaten beyond what people need, and that leads to people to gain weight.
And overweight people are at greater risk for non-communicable diseases like diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers.
Diabetes is shooting to very high rates in the United States and across Europe. Heart disease is a major cause of mortality in the Western countries. And unfortunately, when people become industrialized, if they adopt this Western diet, they're going to have these same health impacts. And in some cases, if you're Asian, actually have them more severely than even happens in the West.
China, he says, is a case in point where diabetes has skyrocketed.
From less than 1% to 10% of the population having diabetes as they began to industrialize over a 20-year period. And that hasn't leveled off yet. That's still going up. So, and that is happening all across the world, in Mexico and Nigeria and so on, just nation after nation.
And the diet bad for humans is also bad for the environment. As global population grows, experts say more forests and tropical habitats will be converted into farmland for crops or grazing pasture for cattle to meet the increased demand for food.
We're likely to have more greenhouse gas released in the future from agriculture because of this dietary shift than all the greenhouse gas that right now comes out of all of the cars and all the airplanes, boats, and ships, all forms of transportation. So our change in diet is likely to be worse for the world for climate warming than all the transportation sources we use right now.
Writing in the journal Nature, Tillman says the link between diet, the environment, and human health, what he calls a trilemma, is one of the greatest challenges facing humanity. One solution he presents is leaving the Western diet behind, something that Jacqueline Rogers and Mike Richmond know something about. The two VOA staffers have each lost 22 kilograms and kept off the weight. Rogers, who has a family history of diabetes, calls herself a reformed carboholic.
I ate lots of carbs all the time. That was my go-to. Pastas, rices, potatoes, breads. I never met any of those things in any form that I didn't like. I had to switch that around, become more vegetable-based, more fruit-based, more protein-based. That plus physical activity made the big difference for me.
Richmond says he was always athletic, but could not compete like he used to because he was overweight. He started to go to a gym, lift weights, and run on a treadmill. At the same time, he changed his diet.
It hasn't been anything as complicated as what Jackie's done. I mean, I've just cut out a lot of sweets, a lot of junk, and also just simple things like walking up the stairs and instead of taking the elevator. I always do that. I will not take the elevator at all.
My job is sedentary. I have to force myself to get up, go out, walk around the building, walk up the stairs, go to the fifth floor, come on back down. I have to make myself do something throughout the day, not just sit at the computer.
Rogers says the switch in lifestyle has been a matter of making better choices, choices that are better for her health and the health of the planet. And she adds she no longer has any sign of diabetes. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.
So what do you think? Do you eat a Western diet? Has it affected your health? Let us know by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia. Until next time, I'm David Byrd.
All right, I admit it. I'm guilty. I eat a Western diet. You know, I'm here in the West. I eat a Western diet. If I want a hamburger, I get a hamburger.
Right.
If I want a hot dog, I want fried chicken and stuff like that. And look what's happened. I'm in terrible shape. It's as simple as that.
Nobody can tell because they're listening to you.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could relay that information. But nevertheless, I mean, we have enough different stuff to eat here, so it's okay.
It's time for sports on VOA Global. Jim Stevenson along with Ira Melman. FIFA filed a criminal complaint against unnamed individuals Tuesday over the 2018 and 2022 World Cup bidding contests, which were won by Russia and Qatar. FIFA said its president, Sepp Blatter, asked Switzerland's attorney general to investigate the behavior of the unnamed people involved in the bid campaigns. In an apparent move to avert criticism of FIFA, Blatter acted on a request by FIFA's ethics judge, whose summary last week of an investigation by American prosecutor Michael Garcia was widely denounced as a whitewash of Russia, Qatar, and FIFA officials.
Former England coach Sven-Goran Eriksson, there's a British name for you, is taking over at the Chinese club Shanghai East Asia. The 66-year-old Swede said Tuesday he wants to make the club a force not only in China but throughout Asia and appears willing to spend big to attract fresh talent. By big, they mean big. The club reportedly has about $82 million to spend on players.
Doha has been chosen to host the 2019 Athletics World Championships. The Qatar capital beat out bids from Eugene, Oregon, and Barcelona in a secret vote Tuesday by members of the IAAF Council. Doha succeeded after missing out in a bid to host the 2017 World Championships. The bid teams from all three cities made final presentations to IAAF officials ahead of the vote.
Well, Matt Shoemaker combined with four relievers on a four-hitter to upstage Sohei Ohtani, and the Major League Baseball All-Stars from the United States beat Japan 3-1 Tuesday in the finale of their five-game series. Shoemaker, who finished second to Chicago White Sox first baseman Jose Abreu in the American League Rookie of the Year voting, got the win by allowing two hits in five scoreless innings. The American All-Stars won the last two games after an 0-3 start.
Guess who's coming back? Rafael Nadal says he will return to playing at the start of the year. The 14-time Grand Slam tennis champion has not played since having his appendix removed this month. I guess he's a little bit lighter now. That forced him to miss the season-ending ATP Finals. Nadal says he will play in Abu Dhabi in January. After that, he'll play his first official tournament in Doha. That's a look at sports on VOA Global. Well, what's happening in the music scene, Ira?
Well, Bette Midler earns her highest entry ever on the Billboard 200 chart this week with It's the Girls. It's her first new studio album in 8 years, debuts at number 3. Midler's tribute to girl groups features her versions of songs by TLC, The Supremes, and the Andrews Sisters, and the Shirelles, among others. If you like old music, you're going to like this.
That's great. Well, on November 12th, the top 12 finalists on the popular reality show The Voice were chosen. Each of the show's four coaches has three contestants to mentor through the live television rounds. Team Blake features Reagan James, Craig Wayne Bodd, and Jesse Pitts. They got a bunch of other people on there as well.
Well, husband and wife country superstars Tim McGraw and Faith Hill are working on new film projects for 2015 release. Hill will star in the crime drama Dixieland alongside Chris Zilka and Elvis Presley's granddaughter, Riley Keough. Hill made her film debut in 2004 as The Stepford Wives. McGraw, who previously starred in Friday Night Lights, The Blind Side, and Four Christmases, will appear in Tomorrowland. The science fiction film also stars George Clooney and is scheduled for release in May of 2015.
Well, here's Tim McGraw and Faith Hill's duet. Meanwhile, back at Mama's.
New truck, bank lets me borrow from month to month. Running out of credit, find a little cash on the radio. Standing still, they're blowing past. Numbers on cars going NASCAR fast. What I wouldn't give for a slowdown, don't you know? 'Cause where I come from, only the horses run. When the day is done, we take it easy. Meanwhile, back at Mama's, the porch light's on. Come on in if you wanna. Supper's on the stove and beer's in the fridge. Red sun sinking out low on the ridge. Game's on the tube and Daddy smokes cigarettes. Whiskey, he keeps his whistle. And funny the things you thought you'd never miss in a world gone crazy as this. Found a girl and we don't fit in here. Talk about how hard it is to breathe here. Even with the windows down, can't catch a southern breeze here. One of these days, gonna pack it up and leave here. 'Cause meanwhile, back at Mama's, the porch light's on. Come on in if you wanna. Supper's on the stove and beer's in the fridge. Red sun sinking out low on the ridge. Game's on the tube and Daddy smokes cigarettes. Whiskey keeps his whistle wet. Funny the things you thought you'd never miss in a world gone crazy as this. Somebody, everybody knows there. Everybody knows everybody. I miss those small town rooms, walking around in muddy boots, the sound of rain on an old tin roof. It's time we head on back. 'Cause meanwhile, back at Mama's, the for sale sign's gone up, and I'm gonna dump this truck and the little I got on a loan to own and a 3-acre lot. Put supper on the stove and beer in the fridge. We're going for broke, yeah, we're gonna be rich. Watch the sun setting on the ridge. Baby, tell me what you think about this. Me and you back at
this is VOA Global from the Voice of America. I hate to tell you this, but there's some bad news we have to tell you about.
What's that?
Chocolate. There might be a shortage of chocolate.
What?
On the way. Yep.
How's that possible?
Well, the Mars company, people make all those candy bars, also some others around the world, they recently warned that consumer demand for chocolate will exceed cocoa supply by 2020. That's only, what, 6 years away from now?
Wow.
Creating a gap in supply and demand of 1 million metric tons. That according to Bloomberg. And they say the predicted shortage is attributed to myriad factors such as disease, drought, rapacious new markets. That's what they said. And the displacement of cacao.
Yeah, right.
Whatever it is, by more productive crops such as corn and rubber, according to Bloomberg. However, Jim, the International Cocoa Organization disagrees.
They should. They're a global group made up of cocoa-producing and consuming countries. And they told USA Today Network that the prediction is not correct. Not correct.
Spin. it's nothing but a spin. It's another corporate spokesman.
It melts in your hands.
Yeah, we call them corporate flex, and they will take some position, and they'll try to back it up with whatever thing they have. This time, I hope they're right. I hope there
well,
will not,
not
be a shortage.
You know, just
of
eat
chocolate.
All the chocolate you can get now.
Give me that candy bar, will you, all please? Right, eat it before it's gone. Fine. That's going to wrap things up for us today on VOA Global with Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman. Our thanks today to Tracy Carter, who is our director. Jackson Witt is our technical director, and Diane Gao runs the whole shebang. It's all her fault.
Right to her.
Good night, everybody, or good day, wherever you might be.